afternoon. This is a meeting of the Senate Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services. I'm Joe Josephson, the chairman. On my far right is Senator Paul Fisher from the Kenai Peninsula. And to my immediate right is Senator Happy Moss, Delta Junction. This hearing has been called to consider testimony on SB 482, an act relating to the regulation of the practice of marital and family therapy. It would create a 7-member licensing board to regulate the profession of marital and family therapy. It is estimated that the cost of the board through the Division of Occupational Licensing would be $60,900 per annum. The bill would create the board for a 4-year period subject to a sunset review at that time. The board would have authority to adopt ethical standards, suspend and revoke licenses, and adopt regulations as needed. Qualifications for licensure, the payment of fees, grounds for disciplinary sanctions, and requirements for practice under supervision are addressed in the bill. There is a grandparenting provision and standard for licensing by credentials. The Administrative Procedures Act would apply to the activities of the board. I think we have two people who have indicated a desire to testify, and this time I will call upon Leon Weber. Did you wish to go last in this? Without objection, we'll allow Mr. Weber to go last. You are?
I didn't put anyone.
Okay. Gary?
Yeah. Gary, this is?
Yeah. Why don't you come forward?
Okay.
As you know, Senator Josephson, I've been involved with the licensing social work bill, and I just been so involved with that, I really haven't looked at this closely, but I have a few concerns about this bill. I really believe marriage and family counseling is an important service that must be regulated, especially those in independent practice. But I noticed in this bill that the exemptions, the exclusions, page 10, line 16, excludes an attorney, a judge, physician, a psychiatrist, psychologist, and a clergyman. And I'm wondering why this exclusion does not include presently social workers, those in independent practice, and also those who are working for agencies in the community now. In the state of New Jersey, approximately 2 years ago, there is this license for family and marriage counselors in the state of New Jersey. There was a social worker who had an accredited certified social work degree who did not have a license in family and marital counseling. And he requested that his name be listed in the phone book under marriage and family counselors. At that point, occupational licensing in the state of New Jersey got involved and informed the telephone company that they should not accept this social worker's listing under the heading of marriage and family counselor because this social worker was not licensed as a marriage and family counselor. This battle took 6 years, went to the New Jersey Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court finally overturned the state occupational licensing and allowed this social worker to list themselves as a marriage and family counselor because they felt, and I can almost quote this now, that it was against his First Amendment rights to truthfully advertise his services. And so in the state of New Jersey, it took 6 years to battle something that I'm afraid may happen here if we don't exempt psychiatric social workers from this bill. Given that, I've been actively trying to get social workers regulated in the state in some levels, I think we're going to run into trouble if we don't include social workers as an exemption.
Do you think that there would be a possibility of creating a behavioral science board that would embrace social workers and others?
I don't know if it's possible. I always believe that may be the best route to go. you have various professions who get somewhat threatened when you try to combine them. But realistically, those people involved with counseling include social workers already listed as one of the four mental health professionals. And they're listed as a licensed psychiatric nurse, licensed clinical psychologist, licensed psychiatrist, and MSW social workers with 2 years' experience. Those four professions are already looked at by the state of Alaska as mental health professions. And I noticed that two of them are listed here. The psychiatric nurse isn't listed here either, the licensed psychiatric nurse. And I used to think those four professions could be handled under one umbrella regulatory body. But I don't know how the other the other professions feel about that.
In the state of California, there's a chapter dealing with marriage, family, and child counselors. And apparently...
In New Jersey?
No, California.
California, okay.
And a person wishing to advertise those services applies to the Board of Behavioral Science Examiners for a license. And the fields covered appear to be anthropology, child development, family studies, clinical psychology, community mental health. These are degree fields. Correctional counseling, counseling, counselor education, education, educational guidance and counseling, education psychology, human behavior, humanistic psychology,
yeah.
Marriage counseling, pastoral counseling, psychiatric nursing, psychology, public health, rehabilitation counseling, social work, sociology, speech pathology, and speech therapy, and psychological foundations of educational guidelines and counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And then they specify what kind of curriculum requirements there are. And they list a series of accrediting agencies.
Uh-huh.
And have an experience factor. This gets very complicated because there's a antipathy in the Sheffield administration against creating more boards and commissions to begin with. And unless they're boards and commissions for government. That's creating a difficulty for everybody.
Well, my concern, one way to go would be an overboard, a super board that would cover all these, you know, direct service providers in terms of counseling. I'm concerned, like I said, haven't really been up on this bill, but just quickly going through it, I'm concerned that the exemptions to this bill, if this bill passes, do not include what the state of Alaska already accepts as mental health professionals, among them psychiatric nurses and psychiatric social workers. The other thing that concerns me is to use the title marriage and family counselors, a marriage and family counselor, does that mean one has to be licensed under this bill even though they have a degree and are accredited and already working in that capacity? In other words, exempting psychiatrists, we're exempting clergymen in this bill too. Does that mean that they don't have to be regulated as marriage and family counselors just because their title is a clergyman? Well, maybe we can get some more involved.
All right.
I've seen many houses.
Let me ask
sure.
you a dumb question about, you know, clergymen. In their training for clergy, don't they have this type of training that, in a sense, would be the same as any social service work? It seems to me like that would be one of the reasons they would be exempt.
I'm not sure I can answer that question.
I think it would vary. From
right.
Depends on the institution they went to. Right?
Denomination.
Yeah.
I think we may have clergymen who may not have any expertise in that field.
Well, a lay preacher you're talking about, not...
I think you could get a degree in theology probably that would not include any of this.
I don't know. It just seems to me like theology is really the biggest and the best counseling bunch there is. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I trust my preacher sometimes probably more than I would some of our.
That may be true, but I think we've seen some abuses under that guise of clergymen too, and concern. For people out there who are putting themselves in a position of calling themselves marriage and family counselors with no expertise in that field. Matter of fact, in some states, you can call yourself a psychiatrist with no special training in psychology, just an MD degree. I don't know if you're aware of that, but you can hang out a shingle and call yourself an eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist or a gynecologist.
Still care, yeah.
With no special training.
You can do that here.
here too, maybe. Okay.
You don't have to be board certified. You can call yourself a specialist.
Right. And in this state, you can probably call yourself a marriage and family counselor. You can call yourself a social worker. So I really feel there's a problem, and I don't know how to quite get to it.
As a social worker in private practice, aren't you troubled by the fact that today person can... claim expertise in as a marriage and family therapist without any criteria at all?
Yes, I'm very troubled.
I could do it on the basis that I was divorced once.
Right. I don't know if some of the letters that I have received about this social work licensing bill, you may have gotten copies of them, but been some people willing to write down some of the stories some of the horror stories they've had with people who call themselves marriage and family counselors who disappeared from the state or did some unprofessional thing, which one woman wrote in a letter may have caused the breakup of her marriage. Now, I don't know if that would have done that. But I am also concerned about people calling themselves social workers or marriage and family counselors. There was an article in the paper about 2 weeks ago, therapist comes to town. I don't know if you've caught that in the Daily News. It was a woman that preys on stones and rocks and places jewels and emeralds on people's bodies, and yet she was called a therapist. So even that word therapist... You know, how loosely do we use that word? I don't know if any of you saw that article, but it was there. The other thing that concerns me, like I mentioned, is the sanction the state has already given those four mental health professionals to commit involuntarily to a psychiatric setting without regulating one of those titles of social worker. And why that's missing here with the exemption in this bill. I'm not sure why social workers were not excluded in this bill.
Okay, we'll get the answer to that. Okay. Is there anything else?
Well, just appreciate me seeing you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Karen Jensen?
I'd like to make some general remarks that are in the form of a letter to Senator Josephson, and then I'll leave a copy of the letter with you. My name is Karen Janosek, and I'm currently a marriage and family therapist in private practice in Anchorage. I've lived in the state 10 years and have practiced here for that time, including 2 years with the Alaska Clinic and 7 years with the Family Institute of Alaska. I'm not opposed to the idea of licensing marriage and family therapists, but feel the proposed legislation must be modified in some important ways to make it fair and relevant to our state's situation. My overall impression of the legislation, as proposed, is that it's very restrictive, tending to exclude rather than include and therefore regulate. It seems that a bill designed to keep people out does a much poorer job of regulating them than a bill designed to include people and therefore subject them to the regulations described. This style of legislation may be appropriate in states that have an overabundance of practitioners, but does not seem fitting in Alaska, where scarcity is often the rule, particularly in the mental health profession. The bill also distinguishes between therapists and counselors, which is a distinction not very meaningful to the general public. The proposed legislation would not license counselors and therefore not regulate them, and the counselors may have skills identical to therapists and may also be involved in treatment relationships with couples and families in the same manner as those designated as therapists. In terms of making the legislation fit our state situation, we must consider the rural areas in which there are currently marriage and family therapists who could not meet the requirements for licensing, but who have done and will probably continue to do excellent work for couples and families. Under the terms of this bill, they may be forced to relabel themselves and therefore not be regulated by the board, be forced to operate illegally and face possible legal consequences, or stop their community service and leave a gap in their community or area. This hardly seems to benefit the state of Alaska or its people. It would also seem important to consider whether our own University of Alaska graduates from the Masters in Counseling Psychology program could qualify for licensing under this bill. Judging from the course catalog for last year, of the 11 courses required for licensing under this bill, only 4 are offered at UAA, and only 1 course out of 6 required in the field of marriage and family therapy is even offered. It's possible to advance the argument that the university should be expected to accommodate to the legislation, but perhaps it would also be useful to make sure the legislation has a way of making it possible for our own graduates to qualify, rather than making licensing available only to those who can go outside for further education or who come to Alaska from outside. Finally, the matter of the grandfather clause raises concern. First, the requirements are set forth for inclusion of licensees, and then the requirements can be waived at the judgment of the board. Anytime a small group of people has the power to pass judgment on those already successfully practicing, the legislation perhaps becomes one of exclusion. It would seem proper initially to automatically license those currently practicing who make application and who do not have a criminal record of any kind. It's commonly believed that third-party insurance payments, which are currently denied marriage and family therapy practitioners, would automatically flow to them if licensing were instituted. Our overall experience with the insurance industry is that they're always most reluctant to grant mental health coverage, and when the economy dictates a reduction in services covered, mental health coverage is usually the first to be deleted from the policy. My own experience with the insurance problem has never been that they denied payment to me due to lack of licensing in the state, but rather that they had chosen rather narrowly to pay mental health funds to certain level practitioners in order to keep the monetary outlay to a minimum. While it may be time for licensing regulation in my profession, I must confess I have not witnessed abuses or mistreatment of couples and families among my colleagues due to lack of regulation. I would strongly urge that the considerations of grandfathering, rural needs, and our own university program be considered seriously in amending the current legislation and making it more suitable for the Alaska situation. Additional modifications in making it more inclusive rather than exclusive seem prudent if the real intent is to regulate and protect the public along with the practitioners. I would be available to participate in further planning to make the legislation more applicable and more fair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Without seeming facetious, maybe, can you tell me what the difference is between counseling and therapy? Perhaps if I could understand that a little better now. Is there any difference, really, in this type of work?
There have been several attempts to make a difference between counselors and therapists. There are those who say that therapy is more a process of allowing people to discover answers and counseling is a process which provides answers. There are others who say therapy is a practice that involves a psychiatric medical terminology or diagnostic label and counseling does not. Personally, I find the distinctions not very meaningful.
In other words, both may be one and the same.
Exactly.
Other questions? No, thank you. Karen, do you hold a degree in any field? I don't know if you're kind of.
No, I don't. My training in marriage and family therapy predates any degree programs. It's just been within the last 3 years that there have been degree programs in marriage and family therapy.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. So the way it is now, if I wanted to go out and get a, I could be a family and marriage counselor just by calling myself one, regardless of my background.
Yes. What I would suspect, though, is that the natural process in any community, if you did poorly, would eventually weed you out.
My name is Leon Weber, and I'm here to speak in favor of Senate Bill 482 relating to marriage and family therapy licensing. As a marriage and family therapist, I'm a member of the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, a national organization with over 40,000 members. I'm a clinical member and approved supervisor. I'm also a charter member of the American Family Therapy Association, which is a national association that does research and training and a member of the Teen Family Methods Association based in Chicago, another national association. In my capacities as a marriage and family therapist, I have a private practice. During this semester, I'm supervising 4 interns, 2 medical doctors, 1 nurse in training, psychiatric nurse, and 1 graduate student from the University of Alaska, supervising them in their learning about marriage and family therapy. I also often provide community education and have been responsible for 4 statewide conferences in marriage and family therapy since 1974 here in Alaska. I've been chairman of the 6 State Judges Conference, which was convened in Juneau, and was director of the Center for Family Studies, which I still am, a program which was initiated here in Alaska to provide training in marriage and family therapy for those professionals who were practicing and did not have the training. However, as a result of the default of the South Central Regional Resource Center grant, our institute was left with a $40,000 debt that the state did not pay, and at that time we had to close the center's program in order to meet the financial obligations incurred by the default of the state to our not-for-profit institute. There are a couple issues I think that need to be addressed, and I would like to state that first of all are that there is a need to identify and recognize that marriage and family therapy is a separate profession with separate identifiable skills that are required to practice in our field, separate from psychologists, separate from psychiatrists and social workers. That I sent a copy of the COPL report from Michigan called the Commission on Professional Boards and Licensing. I'm well aware that the governor's office would veto any bill that came out creating a new board. At least that's what he has said. I've met with Carol Driffner in Juneau just 2 weeks ago. Carol apparently, through the governor's office, is looking towards a behavioral science board. The Michigan study basically took a look at the need to establish such a board, recommended it, and at the same time investigated the field of marriage and family therapy and determined there was a need for the licensing of marriage and family therapists. I would hope members of this committee would scan through this report to see its applicability for our situation in Alaska. The second issue I think that needs to...
You say Michigan did recommend the licensing
of marriage and family therapists.
Family therapists.
Yes.
Part of the behavioral.
Yes, board. Behavioral science board that would include psychologists and social workers.
Thank you.
The state of Alaska is in the process of validating professions. There is no way to get around the fact that when you validate one profession, you are automatically invalidating another. The difficulties this causes for us in our own practices as we go before courts, as we testify, as we are called as expert witnesses, has many implications and ramifications. When a state arbitrarily validates one profession and chooses not to another, you must ask, what is the criteria? The criteria that has been responded to me from members of the legislature has to do with economics. That apparently for $60,000 this state cannot afford to license marriage and family therapists. That the economics of $60,000 cannot be really compared to the money that would be saved by encouraging practitioners not only to come to Alaska, but for practitioners in this state to upgrade their level of training before they call themselves marriage and family therapists. Another important issue which this committee, I would encourage you to address, is that consumer protection means that if somebody goes to a marriage and family therapist who has not had training, they will have believed they have tried that profession, they have tried it, and it may not have worked. That there is a misrepresentation. In our field today, there are doctoral programs and master's programs that have been in existence since the early 70s. That in the early 70s, Florida had a marriage and family therapy master's program. There were institutes from the 60s that offered training in most of our major cities for upgrading the skills and certification programs that were usually 2 years. Those began in the 60s. There are 452 family institutes in the United States today. There are approximately 35 accredited graduate programs that train people to get a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, and I believe 12 of them have doctorate degree programs in marriage and family therapy. In 1975, the Family Institute conducted a probably somewhat biased research poll out to South Central Regional Planning Health Planning Committee. The responses to that research was the number one identified mental health problem in the state had to do with families, that mental health practitioners were saying their need for training and their need for upgrading their skills was in the area of marriage and family. We thought this might have been biased since it was done by us, but fortunately, independent study was done around 1977 by Hal Sexton at Alaska Pacific University at that time. Hal Sexton was a psychiatrist who was working with Dr. Robert Krauss. It is referred to as the Sexton Report, and in it, again, with over 3,000 healthcare professionals polled, the healthcare professionals identified the family as the major unit of concern for mental health problems in the state of Alaska. I think there is an appalling scarcity of trained, professional marriage and family therapists to respond to this need. It is very difficult to attract them to come to the state, and there is certainly no indication there's any encouragement for people to upgrade their skills in this profession if there is not a regulation of the field. That it would be in the state's best interest to encourage the practice of professional marriage and family therapists who have been known to prevent hospitalization, as in the Denver studies that were done in the middle 60s. One or two preventions of hospitalizations by qualified people could total $60,000 in 1 year. Marriage and family therapists are very familiar with preventing the incarceration of juvenile delinquents by working with families. This again saves thousands of dollars. Trained marriage and family therapists have from the beginning worked with families to prevent placement into foster homes. It goes on and on what a trained, competent marriage and family therapist could provide the state. I would like again to say that in response to the gentleman's first comments about excluding social workers, it was interesting that he was willing to consider monitoring clergy, that at this point, since social workers are not licensed, the majority of social workers are not clinical social workers. When you graduate from a social work program, it does not mean that you have had training as a clinical social worker. If you look at the statistics referred to in the Copel report, of the 40% who are trained clinically, fewer than half of those social workers are trained in marriage and family therapy. And that training may only include one graduate course in marriage and family therapy and perhaps some supervision of seeing families. As a professional in the field, and the standards that we have encouraged here, I think it would benefit Alaska to not remain in the dark ages about a profession allowing Alaskans to not have the availability of trained marriage and family therapists. The University of Alaska just this year, from their master's program in Anchorage, withdrew a requirement that marriage and family therapy be a required course for graduation. The person who was teaching marriage and family therapy at the time was tired. He had never taken a course in marriage and family therapy. He's willing to admit this and had never taught it and never done it, but was asked to teach it at the university. He gave up teaching that, and what's happened is it's no longer a requirement. The Center for Family Studies, which we founded in 1980, was a postgraduate program for professionals in the field to help upgrade their skills. We hope within the next 2 years to be able to begin that program again so it will be available in the state. The caution that there are not graduate programs to train marriage and family therapists may be a valid one. However, it would be like saying because there is not a medical school in this state that we should not have licensing for medical doctors. We're talking about a profession and obviously an absence of our educational system providing that service. I think that the University of Alaska obviously ought to have a graduate program in marriage and family therapy. It's our number one mental health problem. You will not keep practitioners such as myself in the state for long as we are captive of practicing in private practice under medical supervision by people who have had no training in the field and who by validation of being a psychiatrist can provide medical coverage for us so that we can collect insurance. Even a larger problem, if you'll allow me just a minute, is that even with licensing, the majority of our insurance companies do not cover marriage and family therapy. It would be like a young couple getting married not having a coverage for pregnancy. That there is an aversion in the health insurance field to covering mental health services. And I think that's regrettable, and I think Karen Janicek's comments on it were absolutely true. That even with licensing, this is not going to help us in terms of collections. I have a private practice. I make a lot of money out of my private practice. I think you ought to monitor it. I think there ought to be a way for you to monitor those of us who are practicing in this field. You are not validating us. You are not encouraging well-trained professionals to come to the state or people who are in this state to upgrade their skills. I appreciate the opportunity to testify before you.
Other questions?
I'd just like to ask one question. You know, I get the feeling a lot of the stuff that we've talked and discussed this session, especially that we do have a lot of mental health problems in Alaska and family problems. Would you say that percentage-wise we have more problems than some of the other states perhaps?
It's a question often answered, Senator, and I don't know how to answer that. I don't know the comparative reality of whether we have more or not. We have our share, and we certainly are busy in our practices at this point.
Well, I don't know whether it was because we've been working a lot on this lately, and I don't know whether it was because we didn't have the services or we did have a peculiar situation in Alaska itself. I do know that we have a lot of teenage suicides and so forth. It seems to me like it's more prevalent than it is in some of the other areas, or maybe that's something that's going on now. It's probably got more family troubles and stuff than you normally expect.
When I first arrived in Alaska, I believed over the first few years that it had to do with the amputation of many individuals from their families of origin, where there were thousands of miles separating them from their extended family networks. But as we look in the lower 48, it's just as possible someone could travel from New York to California and be just as separated from their families of origin, that is the world we live in. I don't know whether or not we have more problems. We have our share of them, and we've certainly been able to identify them. Quantitatively comparing them, I don't know the answer to that.
And I'd ask you another question, same as I asked a moment ago. I'm just trying to find out, what's the difference between therapy and counseling? Is there a difference?
Therapy implies an observable professional practice, just as when somebody does surgery, you can count down the 10 steps that they took. Therapy implies that you have a concept of the practice, that you're responsible for it. You can identify what you are doing with the family and are accountable for it. And so therapy really implies the acquisition and the practice of specific skills. Counseling is a general term that people use, especially when they are practicing in agencies, etc., where they may or may not have graduated from college and are going to be a counselor in a particular agency. It's a softer word. I think there is some question about, you know, what really is the difference. In our field, what we're saying is someone who says they practice marriage and family therapy, identify what it is for them to practice that, what training they've had, and be accountable for it, and demonstrate they have the skills in that field. It certainly will exclude some people. And it certainly will mean those persons who do not measure up to the qualifications, rather than allowing them to continue doing it, there will be a request they upgrade their skills. And that is true in any time licensing is introduced. And the longer we wait, the more people will come forward before you claiming that they're going to be excluded from the licensing. And you have a choice then to let a large number in who are not trained, not qualified. The exclusion or grandfather bill in this clause has been liberally construed to allow those people who have truly practiced marriage and family therapy to be included in this bill, whether or not they have a master's or a doctorate degree.
Well, let me just, Gary and Karen, if you'd like to draw chairs up so maybe we can all talk for one time.
I had one more question here that I wanted to ask. When we got to the exclusion deal excludes a governmental educational employee approved by the board. If the legislation goes through, suppose those people are no longer educational or governmental employees, do they still retain the right, in this case here, to practice? It's only while they're under the umbrella of government that they are allowed to practice. Is that your interpretation of this?
That's my interpretation, yes.
Well, this is what I want to make sure of. How do you feel about the bill that we've got here that you've seen so far? I haven't heard you say any particular section or something is not, in your opinion, a good section or a bad section.
The bill is drafted from the model legislation that has been used in other states as recommended by the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. And I feel that it's a competent bill. It's a bill that addresses the issues that need to be in licensing, that it is going to offend many, and it is going to really raise the concern of some who will be concerned whether or not they'll be eligible for licensing. It will encourage upgrading standards in the state. I think it's a good bill, and it's a necessary one in order to address the issues I've already discussed here.
Is it adequate?
Yes.
Senator Fisher.
Thank you.
Leah, you mentioned last time we went over this, how many people you think would be licensed, people in Alaska.
Thank you. I think in the Yeah, in the first year, I think there would be fewer than 25 persons who would qualify for licensure by this bill. I think in addition to that, if you notice the section that has to do with, would you give me just a second to find this? It has to do with like a marital and family therapy internship. That I would imagine if persons really chose to do that, there would be 40 or 50 persons who are simply short some supervision or perhaps a course or two that they could take that would enable them to begin to meet those requirements. So we really are talking about 25 persons in the first year.
Just to follow up on a few points. On page 5 of the initial licensees, at the top subsection B, the board may waive the requirement. That the board may waive requirements of subsections, essentially can waive all the requirements except that except engaged in conduct that is ground for imposing disciplinary action. In other words, can waive the degree requirement, can waive the practice requirement, can waive the practice requirement, and can waive the examination requirement.
Yes.
Is that standard?
Yes, it is. It's a grandfather clause, and it's the one that Karen Janicek, I believe, was addressing. I think her concern would be that the, I don't want to speak for her, but what I got from it was her concern would be that's a pretty liberal option to give a board, and if you get a group of people together, they might just play, you know, I mean, it might be discriminatory in who they would choose to let in, but it is a standard clause for grandfathering people in who have been practicing for a number of years in the state, who would, by experience, if not education, really qualify.
It's one of
grandfather's
laws, because it's permanent, isn't it? Well, I was just going to raise that point. The same language appears on page 6, starting line 9. Again, it authorizes a waiver of the degree, the course requirements, the examination, actual clinical contact, so that even after it's fully established, past the grandfather and grandmother stage, the board still has the authority to waive everything.
That's true, and I'm not quite sure why that's in there. What I understand from the American Association is someone such as an internationally known family therapist by the name of Jay Haley was unable to get a license in the state because it was so solidly written in about what their requirements would be and that it was post-grandfather clause and there was no way for him to get in. He is our internationally distinguished person in the field. It would seem, I think it was California, but in the ethics of having that clause in there, it would not be a grandfathering clause anymore but really a distinguished practitioner clause. From the best I can understand of it, I would ask the same question. I'm trying to think, why would they leave that in there?
Mr. Chairman, I would sure like to have staff of the committee review the other licensing legislation and see if what the appropriate language would be. Because this does seem rather broad.
It certainly does.
Leon, let's go on to the social worker problem. We have at present...
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, before we get to social worker, but I would like to deal with the counseling, the narrower issue of therapists versus counseling. The Michigan report states in the bottom of page 3, last paragraph, marriage counselor, in quotes, as a professional title has been replaced by the term marriage and family therapist. Mm-hmm. The terms are used interchangeably in this report, chiefly with current statutory language against the older term marriage counselor. Now, I would gather from this that in Michigan, at least, which you referred to with approbation, I think, they accept marriage counselors as being included within the definition of marriage and family therapist. Would you agree to that?
Professionally, I would not be concerned if somebody were to be out there calling themselves marriage and family counselors and were not licensed. It would not matter to me. I think, however, you would be excluding some people from continuing meeting with families who literally were doing counseling. I professionally don't have any objection if counselors were excluded and could be practicing. Michigan, in looking at it, said a marriage and family counselor is basically a marriage and family therapist and therefore should be licensed and fall under the marriage and family therapy licensing. I think that the public may not be able to easily distinguish between a marriage and family therapist and a marriage and family counselor. And if you were looking at consumer protection, you would probably ask that a marriage and family counselor be the same as a marriage and family therapist and fall under the licensing bill.
Are you familiar with the Michigan legislation?
Yes, I sent that legislation to you, or to your committee.
Would the therapist category in Michigan include what you would define as a counselor and not therapist?
I believe they don't distinguish between the two, Senator. I think they decided in that report to have marriage and family counseling also be known as marriage and family therapy.
What I'm trying to get at is a qualification. You're saying that a therapist has certain additional qualifications beyond a counselor.
Well, you define this as a standard diagnostic program.
The top of page 11.
Yeah. And if a person is working with a couple and has not assigned a diagnostic code number to a couple, by this definition, that would be a counseling situation. Am I right?
I don't know.
Although the assignment of a number serves another purpose, which is that it, in terms of third-party payment. Isn't that true? You might have a situation where someone that says marriage counselor leave the state senate in disabusing with that notion, because I don't have the time, disposition, or intellectual to do that. But
what kind of time frame would we have to do
that?
Oh,
you ought to do it in the next few days.
PDQ?
Would it be realistic to think that we both have the content settled? In other words, we both have bills. We would include in our bill, in addition to exclude clinical social workers or exempt clinical social workers, we would clarify marriage and family counseling as distinguished from marriage and family therapy.
I'm not sure that distinction is really meaningful.
Okay. And then we would propose a vehicle for a joint board. Are you suggesting we look at the Michigan board and provide the outline for it and then send that to you and say, put the two of us in a board similar to this here, and then have your legal assistance straighten it out?
Yeah, that's the way of putting it in final form. If you agree substantively, you could give that material to Christy Bird, who is my age, who works in this building, and she will twix it to us. We are draftsmen for...
Okay.
But I don't want to see new restricted that there's just no way to get into the field.
I trust as you look at this, you'll see that's not the intent.
Yeah,
I know there have been problems in the past with some professional boards, and I think professional boards are being more closely monitored for that very purpose. And I was witness in my own family to that. I came to Alaska as a PhD psychologist, and been in the field for 10 years, and with some difficulty she got licensed, and it was a difficult process for her. I trust that the intent and will not turn out to be the result.
If you find a person has 9 kids, you ought to qualify automatically, as long as it's right, Bobby?
I appreciate your comments on that.
Okay, if you will get, if you will, we'll be close. I can't, you know.
I'm not going to be a great man.
Neither I.
Yeah, let's say the judgment to some agreement of the guild.
But if you will work on that and early next week, have Christy twix that to me. What?
We're going to sit down together.
I will be here after 5 o'clock this evening.
No, but we're going to sit down together between now and next week.
I will be gone all week.
Between now and next week, they're gone? Well,
I'm afraid this is getting, the two bills are separate. I have a national association, we have a lobbyist, we've got a grant, NHSW is going to go for this personally.
Have their board,
right.
And I'm not going to have them find out in the newspapers that, wow, our board's been merged with another body, and that isn't going to happen. So.
Yeah, I understand that. On the other hand,
and you're coming down, I mean, I don't mean to put you in the position, Gary, making judgments for a whole profession with a lobbyist, I apologize for that, but, and I can talk to your lobbyist, as you know. I can also pursue this on my own motion and try to amalgamate the two bills, and that does not implicate you in that effort. Mm-hmm. Vic and I have talked about this too. I think the chances of getting 303 past the legislature are slim and none. I think the chances of getting this bill past the legislature are zero. I think there is a little better than slim chance to get an amalgamation bill past the legislature. That's where you are.
I've indicated to both of you my skepticism about either bill going any place, and I agree with Joe that if there's an effort to shown to bring a couple of related professions together and sort of as they see it, self-serving group, that the chances for both are greatly increased. I mean, it's more than the sum of the two parts. I think the chances would be much, much greater. By the way, I think one of the issues we have to tackle in the Finance Committee is a silly fiscal note again. It's, we have to start being realistic about it.
Okay, well, I want to thank you all for
Well, thank you for being here today. I know that's an expert meeting. Appreciate it. Gary, nice to see you all.